James 1, for the last two Sundays, we've been covering how to handle temptation. And I hope you've been helped from God's Word. And we'll begin reading one more time in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word. I pray that, Lord, you would not allow any distractions to come in the way of what you have for us. Father, I pray that we would, speaker and listener alike, would be emptied of our own will and filled with your Spirit, that we might be able to apply biblical principles for what we know will come into our life. It's coming. May we be ready for it so that we can be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me just quickly review. We've looked at two main points when it comes to dealing with temptation. 2 weeks ago, we looked, number one, at considering God's judgment. Considering God's judgment. And that, more or less, we could say, is considering what is to come. Considering what is ahead. If we were to go into this temptation, if we were to let lust have conceived, and if we were to sin, then when it is finished, it bringeth forth death, and it bringeth forth the judgment of God. And so we talked about considering God's judgment. We left you with several words: desire, deception, disobedience, and death. And we're just moving right through those. So that's the first thing. When temptation comes, overcoming temptation, consider God's judgment. Then last Sunday, we spent the afternoon speaking about considering God's goodness. Considering God's goodness. And we talked about God giving good gifts, and this is the way God gives, and he gives constantly. And we looked primarily at verse number 17. We looked at verse number 17 and gave several pointers about God's goodness. And so that's a barrier. We could call these barriers. We could call these reminders, whatever you want to refer to them as, the judgment of God and the goodness of God. Those are some areas that we looked at. We made a statement last week: God's gifts are always better than Satan's bargains. God's gifts are always better than Satan's bargains. I don't think I mentioned it specifically, but the man's name that I had in my notes here was Achan. The man Achan. And God had warned them about when they went into Jericho, that everything in Jericho was God's. They were to leave everything there, and because God always gets the first fruits, right? He gets the first of it all. And Achan kind of got bit by greed, and you can read that story, Joshua chapter number 7. And what looked like it was a gift, what looked like it was a bargain, it wasn't a bargain at all. And by the way, the devil's going to make it look like sin is worth playing with. That sin is worth kind of entertaining. Don't even entertain it at all. Don't even give the devil place in your life because he's not good. He's not good. There isn't anything good about the devil. And but yet last week we talked about God's goodness. God's goodness. How can we sin against a God who loves us? And let's consider that, the goodness of God. So consider God's judgment. Consider God's goodness. And lastly, this week, we're looking at verse number 18, and that's this: consider God's divine nature within. Consider God's divine nature within. In the first barrier, we said a moment ago that our God challenges us to look ahead and beware of judgment. Be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, this isn't a message about Canada or the United States of America. But in North America, we have been sowing, North Americans, if you want to call us all that, we have been sowing to the flesh. We have been sowing sensuality. We have been sowing wickedness. We have been sowing evil. We have been murdering babies. All kinds of babies have been murdered in the womb of their mother. And on and on and on and on it goes. There's no way that we can live in this fashion and not experience the judgment of God. Now, I'm thankful that as a Christian, even though God's judgment is possibly here, in some ways it's here, it's going to get even greater. I'm so thankful that a Christian, we have the mercy of God. We have the mercy and grace of Almighty God. But as we look around us and we look at a world that is given to sensuality, a world that is given to greed, a world that is given to power, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And it's going to come back. So as we consider God's judgment, we're looking ahead. And then number two, the second barrier, it was to look around us as we consider God's goodness. Look around us. Look at what God has provided you. He's provided His Scripture. He's provided saints of God. He's provided the Holy Spirit of God. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. This third barrier says, look within. Look within. In other words, you and I are not living the Christian life alone. We are not facing temptation by ourselves. We learned about this morning, if you were with us, that when someone gets saved, they are immediately given the Holy Spirit of God. You have in you this afternoon one third of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is on His throne. Jesus is at His right hand, our defense lawyer interceding on our behalf. He's our advocate. And then in me and in you as Christians is the Holy Spirit of God. God says, look within and realize that you have been born from above and possess a divine nature. We're not focusing on the old nature right now, okay? We'll talk about this in a minute, but we're looking at the divine nature that is within us. James used birth as a picture of desire leading to sin and death in chapter 1, verse 15. We talked about that, okay? But he also used it to explain how we can enjoy victory over temptation and sin in verse number 18. So let's look at several things about this nature that is within, and it's kind of a repeat, this first one. But number one, this nature that is within, it is divine. It is divine. When God spoke to Nicodemus, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, Nicodemus thought that he had to re-enter his mother's womb. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ here meets with Nicodemus. Most of you know this story. And Nicodemus thought that he had to re-enter his mother's womb to be born again. We know that's not what was taking place. We know that's not what takes place. That's impossible. This birth that Jesus was referring to was not a fleshly birth, but it was a divine birth. It was a spiritual birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, I always like this part, this text, and maybe I've mentioned it before. This guy just basically gives this glowing report to Jesus, and Jesus acts like he didn't even hear him, and he goes right into the truth of the matter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, Nicodemus is saying, we know you're somebody special. Jesus doesn't even acknowledge that. He just starts preaching, except a man be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is obviously not what Jesus is talking about. But you know what? As you think about this, Nicodemus thought he was talking about something physical. What's the difference than you and you and I trying to go at the enemy, trying to go at the devil, trying to face the devil head on in the power of the flesh? In the power of the old nature. No, that's not going to get us anywhere. We got to recognize that within us is a nature, number one, that is divine. It is from God. God has equipped you and God has equipped me to say no to temptation. God has equipped me to say no to the flesh. God has equipped me with the Spirit's power to say no to the world. It is the work of God. You did nothing to generate your first birth. Think about this. Follow me now. You did nothing to generate your first birth. You played no part in it, okay? Your dad and your mom did, but you didn't. You were just conceived by your mom and dad. You played no part in it. In the same way, we cannot generate our own spiritual birth. The fact that I'm saved and I don't own my way to heaven, it's divine. It's of God. And God has put this new nature inside of me the very moment that I believed and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And so it is divine. Number two, it is not only divine, but number two, it is gracious. It is gracious. I did not earn it. I don't deserve it. God gave me this spiritual birth because of His grace and because of His will. John 1, you're in John still. Go back to John chapter 1. Flip back one page maybe or so in your Bible. John chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? But of God. This divine nature that is living inside me. Remember, tonight we're considering within. We carry about in our bodies the work of God everywhere we go. Now that's encouraging, but it's also challenging. Because we cannot go anywhere where God isn't. Because God is with us. We cannot go and hide and do something off in the corner of life, if you want to say corner of life, you know what I'm saying, and think God isn't here. Yes, God is there. Whether you're saved or not, God's there because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But He is in us through the Holy Spirit of God. It's of His grace. No one can be born again because of his family heritage. My dad and mom were saved when they were teenager and I think almost a teenager. But just because I was born to parents like that doesn't mean that I'm saved. I had to make a decision. I had to understand the grace of God. I had to understand the penalty of sin and where what I was and what God would make of me. This is the new birth. In this new birth, it's of God's grace and it's all of God. It is gracious. So it is divine. It is gracious. Number three. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Number three, this divine nature, this new nature is divine. It is gracious. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it is through God's word. It is through God's word. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Notice, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Human birth requires a dad and a mom. Human birth requires a dad and a mom, a man and a woman. Divine birth, we could say, has two parents as well. It has the Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God, as we see here in 1 Thessalonians, that received the Word which you received it not from men, but as it is in truth, from the Word of God. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So as a Christian, we've been born by the Spirit of God. 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So now, here's the thing, church. Here's the thing. We're going down the road. We're going down to work. We're walking down the sidewalk. We're at work. We're in the mall. We're over here. We're over there. And temptation comes. Hold it a minute. I got to go through the checklist. No, that's not how it works. these things that we're talking about these last 3 weeks, considering the judgment of God, considering the goodness of God, and considering the new nature that is inside of us, these need to become a part of us. It's almost as if these have become a part of us, that we've meditated on them and we've considered them over and over again. Remember, we've said this numerous times. We have to decide before we decide, so that when this temptation comes, we're going to be ready for it. We're going to be prepared for it. It's not, oh, I'm not ready for the temptation, let me get my Bible out. No, we've been hiding God's word in our heart. We've been considering God's judgment. We've been considering God's goodness. And we know that within us, we have the word of God. And we're ready with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that we can be conquerors, whatever it might be. We're ready. Not pride, not prideful, but we're humbly saying we're ready. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about the divine nature that is in us that gives us that victory. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to bring about the miracle of the new birth. Hebrews 4:12, you can read about that, talks about the power of the Word of God. As we consider this divine nature, this new nature, that it is divine, that it is gracious, that it is for the, it is by the Word of God. One more, it is the finest birth possible. It is the finest birth possible. Let's go back to our text, and we see here James says that we are a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James is writing to Jewish believers. The word first fruits would be very meaningful to them. In the Old Testament, the Jews would bring the first fruits to the Lord as the expression of their love and devotion and obedience to him. The first of the crop, the first of the cattle, whatever, and bringing the first fruits to the Lord. We read about it in Proverbs as well. Proverbs chapter 3. You want to jot this reference down. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Of all the creatures and creation that God has in the universe, James says we are the first fruits of his creatures. The saved, the child of God. It is the finest birth possible. Why? Because we share God's nature. I mean, think of that. This is the Creator God. In the beginning, God, right? We talked about that, created the heaven and the earth. And you know, we know that the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were involved in creation. Let us make man in our own image. And we've talked about that. And then God says, okay, when you accept me as your Savior, I'm going to put part of me inside of you. It is the finest birth possible. You cannot find a finer birth. And think about it. This is why I'm saying, church, this is why I'm saying, Pastor Turner, we have every reason to win. We have every reason to be victorious. Now, we do fail, though, don't we? We do. Okay? But a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. When we fall, it's time to go back and rework these things. And remember, I'm God's creature. Look at the first fruits. That's me. That's you as a Christian. You're the first fruits of his creatures. There's nobody else that can have that claim. It's our claim by through humility, by his love, by his mercy. We have that claim. A higher birth must mean a higher life. There's no finer birth, but you know what that should lead to? No finer way of living. We have a divine nature in us. We have the part of the Godhead living within us. This mouth should talk differently. These eyes should look at things differently. These ears should listen to things in a different way and not listen to certain things, not say certain things, see certain things, not see certain things. These hands should not handle certain products. These feet should not take me into certain places. Why? Because I'm considering the nature that is within me. Would God go into this place? Now you say, well, God's everywhere. Okay, yeah, but should I take God with me? Is it proper to take God with me into this place or that place? Is it proper for me, my body being a temple of the Holy Ghost, right? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are bought with a price. We're supposed to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. As we consider the highest birth possible, which is what God gave us, it should lead us to the highest way of living possible as well. And by the way, it is not a sense of pride. In fact, it's the opposite of that. This highest way of living is to bring ourselves down. Because when we humble ourselves, God will exalt us in due time. So the higher birth must mean a higher life. It's beneath our dignity. Think about this. It is beneath the dignity of a believer to accept Satan's bait. And he's got lots of bait. He's got lots of lures. It's the finest birth possible. It is this experience of the new birth that helps me to overcome temptation. If I let the old nature from the first birth take over, I will fail. And by the way, I failed and I will fail again. I'm not saying that to set myself up. I'm saying that to be a realist. However, I want to fail less and less and less and less. And how do I do that? I consider the nature within me. I consider that God gives me the victory. I cannot get up in the morning and say, I'm going to win today, I'm going to win today. I need to go to God and say, God, I know your spirit lives within me. I want to be victorious today over temptation. I want to be victorious today over discouragement. I want to be victorious today over the flesh. I want to be victorious. God, please help me today to be victorious over the temptation that you know is coming, that I have no idea is coming. Consider the nature that is within. This old nature came from Adam. This new nature came from above. When I yield to the new nature, I will succeed. Why? Because the new nature comes from Christ, and He is the victor every time. I'm not succeeding. It's Christ who liveth in me. Songwriter said. A Sunday school child explained this matter in simple terms. Here's what they said. Two men live in my heart, the old Adam and Jesus Christ. Now we know the Holy Spirit does, but that's okay. We can say Jesus Christ still too. When temptation knocks at the door, somebody has to answer. If I let Adam answer, I will sin. I will sin. So I send Jesus Christ to answer. He always wins. You know what? That's a cute little story, but it's not so cute because it happens all the time to you and me. The temptation of this world is coming. Let's be ready for it. The new nature must be fed the Word of God daily. Quickly, would you go with me to a very familiar text of Scripture in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The new nature must be fed the Word of God regularly. I said daily, but I think regularly is a better word because sometimes daily is not enough. Well, I read my Bible this morning at 7 o'clock or whatever time you read your Bible. That's it for me today. I'm done. Well, you know, sometimes that's what happens, and maybe that is the only time you can read your Bible in a given day, but maybe not. Maybe there's other times where you read your Bible in the morning and you know so at some point in the day, I've got to get God's Word. I've either got to pull it up on the app on my phone if I don't have my Bible with me, or I've got to sit down when I get home tonight and I've got to open up the Word of God because that new nature within, it must be fed on the Word of God because it is the Word of God that gives us the spiritual strength. Because remember, we still have the weak flesh in us. We feed that new nature. Jesus said it best when the devil was trying to take him down. Are you in Matthew 4? Most of you know this verse. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Church, this is going to be where we make it, where we don't make it in the Christian life. How we treat this book right here is going to have a lot to do with how you and I combat temptation. This book has everything you need and I need in it to consider God's judgment, right? I read in here of God's judgment. Nation of Israel, He judged them. Other nations, He judged them. You know what? When I read the Bible, I learn of God's goodness. Over and over again, God was so good to Israel. God was so good to other. God was good to His disciples. God was good to the early church. And we can learn about God's goodness. And then when we open this book up, we learn about God's nature that's within us. All of these things can be added to as we open the Word of God. Excuses we can make, but no one can be blamed for my sin except for me. I have this situation and this is why I've sinned. But the bottom line is, you chose. And I chose. We have a wiser thing to choose. Choose God's word in helping you to overcome temptation. Yes, I understand there are, I guess I shouldn't even say I understand, but I can see where some would have a greater difficulty in certain areas of their life, me included, because of possibly an upbringing, because of things in our life. What's more powerful? Who's more powerful? We don't overcome temptation in the power of ourselves. This nature, remember, it's divine. Consider what's within. It's divine. It's gracious. There's no finer birth that's ever happened. Our own desires lead into temptation and sin. God is not to blame. We have seen in these last 3 weeks these barriers to keep us from sin. If we heed the barriers, we will win a crown. Let's go back to James 1. Thank you for your patience. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If we break through the barriers of keep us from temptation, the Bible says death comes in an area of our life. Not necessarily physical death, although it's possible that God would have to take someone. I believe God takes Christians out of this earth that will no longer listen to Him. I believe He does that. I can't point and say this is when He did it and He didn't do it, but we see it in the Bible, it happened. So which is it going to be? I want to encourage you. This is meant to encourage us that at times we feel overwhelmed and we feel like, man, all I do is I just keep giving in to the wrong side. I want to encourage you. It doesn't have to be that way. Consider God's judgment. Look ahead. Learn from the bad examples in this book. This is how I do not want to live. This is how I want to live. Consider God's goodness. Look at God's goodness is all over this book. It's all over your life. It's all over my life. Consider the nature within. It's divine. It's gracious. It's one of a kind. There's nothing like it. The first fruits. That should encourage us. We are the first fruits of His creature.